interview with Professor Max Perutz on the 9th of June 2001. Just ask the usual question, if you could say when and where you were born, and talk as much as you can remember about your parents and grandparents and where they lived, what they did, and so on,
yes.
If you want to say that.
I mean, do you, about my sort of parents' profession, who they were?
Yes, everything
yes.
You can remember.
Yes.
To give a picture of your background, really.
Yes, right. Well, I was born in Vienna in May 1914, really a few weeks before the outbreak of the First World War. My mother was Viennese, she was born Viennese, but my father was born in Prague and migrated to Vienna as a youth. Now, both my parents came from textile families. Both my grandfathers were textile manufacturers. In fact, they were really innovators. They brought mechanical spinning and weaving from England to the Austrian Empire, and as a result became very prosperous. So my maternal grandfather had a cotton weaving mill in a Czech village, and my paternal grandfather had by that time several cotton spinning print weaving mills in various places in what was then Bohemia. And my father was one of several brothers and sisters, and some of the brothers became inherited the firm, became partners in the firm, but they paid out my father's share, and with that he bought a partnership in a cotton printing firm which had its works in a place that was Sudeten German, so the German speaking of in Czechoslovakia.
Do you know which place it was?
Böhmische Lippe in German, Česká Lipa in Czech. And my mother's place was a village called, or a little spa called Bielorad.
Bielorad.
My father bought this partnership, but that had its head office in Vienna. So he moved to Vienna, and in Vienna in 1904, married a Viennese girl, you see, my mother. The firm flourished, and he was very wealthy. He rented a very large, lavish flat in a house which was next to the British Embassy in Vienna, and there was an Anglican church just across the road, and the German and Russian embassies were nearby. So this is where I was born. And both my grandfathers died before I was born.
Did your maternal grandfather, they were also in textiles in Vienna?
My maternal grandfather also lived in Vienna. Vienna was the capital of the Austrian Empire, and you know, they had their works in outside in the Czech being part of the empire. Yes, so my maternal grandfather died, and his inheritance went to two sisters and a brother, and my mother, with her share, built herself a country house 50 miles south of Vienna in a little watering place in 1914. And that was one of the best decisions she ever made, because after the war there was the inflation, and had she kept the money, everything would have been lost. And as it was, she had a friendly architect who built a charming house, very modern for those days, in that place with a large garden.
What was the place?
The place was called Reichenau. And this was where we children spent all this, our summer holidays for the rest of our youth.
Was it near a lake? Was it near a lake?
No, it was not near a lake. It was just a resort, camping, really. But the Alps really started there. The first high mountains were sort of just a mile along the road, and this was where we became a mountaineer.
Do you remember your maternal grandmothers? Because I believe
no, I don't. Both my grandmothers died when I was very little. I think my maternal grandmother died when I was six, and I really remember nothing about it. My paternal one died earlier. So I really had no grandparents.
They played
I
no
knew.
Part in your life.
They played no part in my life, no, none at all. And also, most of my father's family lived in Prague, so all my cousins were in Prague. And my one sister of my mother lived in Vienna, and she had one daughter with whom I had very little contact. So my childhood was not spent with a lot of cousins.
Do you have any siblings yourself?
Yes. Now, I had a brother who was 9 years older, and my sister who was 5 years older. My brother went to study in Zurich when he had finished his school life, so, which meant that my brother really left when I was nine. But I grew up with my sister, and my sister and I were very close indeed for the rest of our lives.
And what are your earliest...
Remained my closest friend.
Even in later life?
Yes.
What would be your earliest memories of home life? So how far back can you go? Is it before school or just with school? Or?
Yes. Look, strangely, most of my early childhood memories have just vanished. I know the school I went to, you know, my first school was a private one.
At the age of six, is it?
Yes, yes. And I remember absolutely nothing about it. It's very odd that all these early memories have just vanished.
Do you remember a teacher or anything at all?
none whatever, you see. Then it was then at 9 I went to preparatory class, a sort of prep school, as it were, which was part of the gymnasium, the secondary school to which I went, and which is called Theresianum or Theresianische Akademie, and was started as an officers' academy founded by the Empress Maria Theresa, so that's why it was called Theresianum. And after the revolution of 1919, it became a public school, I mean, public in the continental scale, you know. And at first, what they called a humanist gymnasium, which meant that pupils learned Latin and Greek, but practically no science. But just before I entered, it was turned into a real gymnasium, which meant no Greek, but Latin, and physics and chemistry were taught. So
that was a new development.
Yes, that was a new development. Now, but my early childhood, I don't remember it. You see, I was told that I got pneumonias 3 times. First, I think, at the age of about 1, you see, and then again sort of at ages of 4 or 5, and which, you know, only just survived. And as a result, I was a very delicate child and weak and small, and so
you were guarded.
I was guarded, yes, and I couldn't fight with my contemporaries because I was much too weak.
Did that bother you? Did that?
Well, yes, it did, you know, because I was a sort of weakling at school, you know, who couldn't defend himself because I wasn't strong enough, and I'd never learned to fight.
Did you do any sport at all?
Well, that came later. You see, I should still say that when I was 9, and I was in this prep school, I had chronic attacks of high temperature, and so our doctor, who was an outstanding pediatrician, really very, very good, advised my parents to send me to a place, the Semmering, which is at a height of about 3,000 feet during the winter, and I don't know how long I stayed there. It may have been 6 weeks, it may have been 3 months, anyway. I stayed there with my nanny, and I was cured. Now, after the Second World War here, the government ordered that everybody should be tested for TB. You see, so they did a blood test to see whether you had antibodies against the OS, and you got an X-ray. You got a chest X-ray. Everybody did, and my chest X-ray showed a scar, and I then realized that what this chronic attacks of her temperature had been that it was TB, and which I didn't know before, and that, you know, staying in the fresh air, it was in winter, you see, at this
saved
place you. Actually saved me and cured me.
Can you remember a lot about this period up in on the Semmering?
I remember being going down on sleds with in front of my nurse. I don't think I was allowed to go around the room yet. So that's the only thing I remember about it. And it must have been terribly dull. But as I say, I don't remember.
You mentioned you went with your nanny.
Yes,
does it mean you had all
yes,
home?
I had a look, yes, in my I don't know, when I was very small, I don't know when. My mother engaged a nanny, and she was a Bavarian woman, a devout Catholic, and very, very conscientious, very good-natured. And so she looked after me then, and sort of until I grew out of her, as it were. And then I think our cook was leaving just then, and my mother sent, she'd really become a member of the family, you see, so my mother sent her to cookery classes, and for the rest of our life in Austria, she remained our cook.
When you had your nanny at home, does it mean you saw your parents only, let's say, to say goodnight or so, or was it?
Oh, we certainly had meals together, yes. And I think I saw quite a lot of my mother. But, you know, I mean, she was very limited, the nanny, you know, she wasn't very bright. She was a very
kind
person. She was very, she was kind, and she tried to keep me tidy. But, you know, she didn't sort of stimulate me, aroused any interest. And I think, you know, in retrospect, I did suffer from that. You know, if I had been with more with my parents, I would have been a bit brighter.
Yeah. Did you have music in your house?
No. And my mother insisted that I must take piano lessons, I think. I don't know if I remember from what age, but I was pretty hopeless. And as soon as I felt sufficiently independent, I said that I wanted to give them up.
I see. So you don't remember being taken to concerts or operas?
No. But went to operas, yes, but not concerts, because I wasn't interested.
Yeah. Did you have friends apart from your sister? Did you have children to play with?
Well, I think I don't remember any early ones. There was, you know, once, you know, I was in my teens, yes, but before that, again, you know, probably perhaps through my many illnesses, I never really had any childhood friends.
So when you went to the country, to your mother's house, so
yes,
you mainly played with your sister?
Well, yes, when I was with my sister, but I did have one close friend out there that was the cobbler's son, and we played a lot together, and then later went climbing together. He was really quite a close friend. I was quite fond of him.
And remained a friend.
He remained a friend. Well, the cobbler and his wife, they were dear old, well, they probably weren't that old, but they were dear old people. I mean, and to me, they were regarded, you know, always terribly nice to me. And he also had a younger brother, you know, in 10 years after the end of the Second War, I returned there for the first time, and I heard that both the brothers had been killed on the Russian front, and the parents were dead, presumably from grief. So that was a very sad return.
So you had no touch, I suppose.
Hmm?
You had no touch with them during the Second World War.
Well, I mean, I had no touch, not after Austria was taken over by Germany.
Yeah.
I had no longer any contact with them.
Did religion play any part in your
life? Yes, very much indeed. You see, my parents had me baptized. I hadn't said yet that both my father's and my mother's families were Jewish. And my parents were emancipated Jews. They were quite unreligious. They never went to a synagogue. And
so I suppose even your grandparents were not.
I'm not sure about that, but I think not really observant Jews, and certainly didn't eat kosher food. So they thought they would save me from anti-Semitism, you see, if they had me baptized. This nanny was a very devout Catholic, but also, you see, I went to a Catholic school. And
that was a Catholic school, the story.
Well, I mean, not, you know, Catholic school, because school had to have some sort of religion, you know. I mean,
so
the official religion was Catholic, but I mean, that merely meant that we had scripture religion lessons. I don't know, several times a week. So I became a very devout little Catholic little boy, you see.
Your sister as well?
I think they didn't. My sister and brother were not baptized because the grandmothers would have objected. But you see, because the grandmothers were
not
dead, I was baptized. And I went to Mass on Sunday. I went to confession and Holy Communion. And as I say, I was really a very tired little boy.
But your parents did not go.
My parents didn't. I must say, they never said anything disparaging about that. You see, in retrospect, I'm surprised that they tolerated this, but they were very tactful about that. They never said anything against it.
And you did not wonder why they didn't go to church?
No, I knew why they didn't go to church, because they'd never
been
baptized.
Oh, you knew that?
Yes, of course, I knew that.
I knew that. So that played quite an important part.
In my childhood, it played an important part in my life, that's right.
So, last one. Your memories, which do go back, start really when you started to the gymnasium.
Yes. And then I don't know exactly when it was, which class anyway, I failed a math test, and it was then discovered that I failed it because I had copied the questions wrong from the blackboard, and I had copied them wrong because I couldn't see them properly. So only then was it discovered that I was short-sighted and needed spectacles. And, you know, again, in retrospect, I thought if my mother had sort of been with me always, she would have spotted that earlier. And as a result, you know, I didn't know one bird from another.
Did it affect, well, no, if you were short-sighted, reading would have been all right.
Well, reading was fine, you see, but only seeing things at a distance, and as I say, I didn't sort of, I wasn't as observant of nature, especially of birds, as I would have been if I,
so
I had been able to see, because every bird looked to me like a sparrow.
So once this was discovered, you got glasses.
I got glasses.
And that must have made an enormous difference.
Well, that certainly helped, yes.
Did you dislike school, or?
Well, you know, I did. I think I look back at school mostly as 8 years of unbearable boredom.
There was the whole time, really, the whole
time. Well, a lot of the time, you see, but then also a lot of teachers, they're really terribly boring. The one who wasn't Latin was not boring, but I wasn't, they never, even so he was outstanding. And
who was, what was
trying
he?
To make classics as interesting as possible, but I couldn't get enthusiastic about Latin grammar.
Did you learn any other languages apart from Latin?
Yes, well, we had French lessons at school, but they were not very good. And I had French and English lessons at home. You see, in people nowadays often wonder, you know, how it was this that I can speak French, and I explained to them that in Vienna in those days, French was the international language, and any educated person was expected to be fluent in French. And English I learned because my father had his apprenticeship in Manchester.
Oh,
and he was a great Anglophile. So I had English lessons at home. I wasn't very keen on any of the French teachers, but the English teacher, so she wasn't English, and as I later discovered, she was originally from Hamburg and had a terrible German accent. She was a marvelous teacher and got me interested in English literature. And then, you know, as a sort of teenager, I would read English novels and read them under the bench in boring classes at school.
I did that too.
And actually at age 18, at the same time as my final school exams, I passed the English interpreter's exam at Vienna University.
Oh, you must have been very good
so,
to be able to do that.
Yes, well, I thought I was, but when I came here, finally, I felt humiliated because I couldn't understand what many people were saying.
When did you start to make friends in school?
In school? Well, I was friends with one or two boys, but close friendship only, I think, age 15 or 16, when a boy joined us from another school and who sat next to me, and he shared many of my interests. I think really none of the others had any great interests.
What were your interests?
Well, actually I was interested in history then and in politics, anything really, you know, I was a voracious reader.
Did you read literature or history or anything really?
Anything you could get hold of. So, yes, look, then, yes, there was a Swiss boy who was also a very keen skier, and these two really became lifelong friends.
I see.
The
Swiss boy was in your school?
Swiss boy was in my school, yes. and I'll tell you more about his history later.
Yeah. I'm just going to